Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
Welcome. I want to give a warm welcome to Maxine Heppner. She has been evolving since the 1970s through dance, theater, traditional arts, and neuroscience research. Maxine's cycles approach examines impulse, energy, and the expressive natures of mobility's many forms. And today she's here talking to us about her cycles practice to dance like yourself. I can't wait. Take it away, Maxine.
You don't have to. You don't have to wait for very long, because here we are. Welcome, everybody. I'm not sure whether the people I see here are the only people, but however many people are here, you're all important, and I'm happy to see you. And thank you to the Embodiment Conference for this huge, massive endeavor that you are doing. It's pretty massive. That's like extraordinary, the people that you're bringing together for all of us to experience.
We have about 70 people, just so you know. What you see is only a handful.
Okay, that's cool. That's good. That's nice to know. It's always, in the past months, I'm sure that many of us have had this odd experience of doing embodied work in this most disembodied way, with this, the 2D screen in front of us, and you don't quite know whether to look at the little light at the top when you're talking to somebody, or yourself and your eyes are looking down. I was just doing a workshop with some senior choreography students at York University in Toronto, and they, just in conversations while we were doing these workshops, they were observing how they, or sharing how they were observing how their actual behavior was changing on the street and talking to people, and that they were tending to look down all the time and to not be using their peripheral vision anymore. And it was extremely interesting. I didn't solicit this information. It would just come out again and again. So I can only encourage us to, even when we're working in this, what, can you see my fingers? Here they are. That's the weird part, right? In this rectangular world that we're now putting our four and five dimensional selves into a two dimensional environment, that we try to not freak ourselves out and pretend that I'm really touching you when I do this, because I think that's really weird. That's just my feeling. But that we have all of our senses and we have all of our dimensions active. So we don't just, well, it's called Zoom. We just don't zoom in on this completely frontal experience. The essence of, or the main premise of my approach to movement in general, to training, to practicing, I call it practicing, to making dance and to dancing, is that we live simultaneously through our intelligence, our physical body and our senses, and that these are complex and often syncopated processes that occur all the time. And that the more we can be aware of all of these processes, the more rich and delicious and infinite our creativity and our self-expression can be. I believe that this heightened awareness is a practicable skill. It's not necessarily one we're born in, but it's also the foundation of our human interactions and our creative processes. So the first place that I've landed when I started to identify what I do as this based in an approach to movement that I call cycles is that energy is infinite. Thank you, all of those wonderful scientists who have come to that conclusion, and we prove something that we probably already knew beforehand. And I call the work cycles due to the persistence of very complex cyclical patterns within all actions and all interactions. I have just realized that I need to plug in my power. And there we go, plugged in. Yes. I've worked over the years with some fabulous neurologists to see if the things that we in the dance studio felt were absolutely true, to see if from the scientific standpoint, these things we were feeling were something that they also were looking at, and they also were thinking was real. Not so much that I felt that we had to, me and the various artists that I work with, that we had to justify what we experience and what is the catalyst for our creativity and also the foundation for our performance, but really to know whether those guys were sort of like, are we on the same pathways? And in fact, over many years, we discovered that the neurophysical and sensory pathways are indeed cyclical in nature. They intersect within themselves, and they intersect between each other, and they intersect with everything that exists on the inside and on the outside of our skin. So the consideration is three considerations. There's what is inside me. There's my skin that is the envelope for all of that. And there's everything else that's outside of me. And what's everything else means literally everything else that's outside of me. The people, the air, the light, the sounds, the material objects, as in the little table that's over here, or my clothes that I feel on my body, or my glasses. Hair is a funny thing. It's kind of inside outside, but somehow, it's a funny thing. The people who I'm in the room with, but not the people I'm thinking about, that's inside. So things become complex and pretty interesting. My practice, like many dance and somatic techniques, includes breath practice, it includes alignment training, it develops power and mobility, stretch, strength. We work not so much on coordination of movements, like, you know, my hand's gonna do this and my finger's gonna do that and I'm gonna be able to do that simultaneously. Can I do? Not so much. We work more with coordination of what I call complementary systems, and we practice interactions. Cycles is designed for everybody, and everyone can practice it within your personal needs, within your own, using your own experience, be it a dance training, be it martial arts, be it the fact that you just walk, that you sit, that you stand, that you breathe, that you love. And it's practiced at any degree of any degree of power, right? You can do it gently, you can do it strong, you can do it fast, you can do it slow, whatever is applicable to you and your needs and desires at the moment. I've worked a lot in all arts forms. We began applying it to dance and theater because we vocalize sometimes. I do an integrated process with musicians now. Often I've had martial artists come and work with me. And more often it's general movement. I work with people who are not intending to perform, but who love to move and who want to do it deeply and who want to do it with a great deal of imagination and beauty, I think. What may be considered unique in this practice, unique from, let's just compare it for a moment, and I'm not going to talk the whole time. Let's just compare it for a moment to dance training. Is that we experience the complexity of action, from moment to moment, rather than practicing segmented sequences separately and then doing them simultaneously. So for instance, in a dance class, you may see somebody doing a movement and then you practice this thing. And then you say, oh, can you show me, I'm not showing my feet because it's hard to see it on the camera. Can you show me what you did with your feet? So then you all practice what isn't with what I show you with my feet. And then I say, oh, and this is what you do with your hands. And this is what you do with your head. And then you try to put it all together. You work to put it all together. In cycles, to begin with, I don't give you sequences unless I'm creating a choreography with the dancers, and we set those and we have to remember them. We work more from the systems that I'm talking about, or that I will talk about, or we will experience it first and then I'll talk about it. It's more that at this moment, if you can see it, at this moment, there are many things that are happening. At this moment, so many things are happening. So that if you say, oh, I didn't catch all of that, this is what I'm doing. I would not separate it, arms, legs, heads, shoulders, breath, things. I would say, well, it begins like this, and then this, and then this, and then this. So that you try to embody the complexity. You don't try and make it simple and then make it complex again. This seems to be extremely interesting to people who've done, who've studied dance in different ways and other kinds of movement forms in different ways. So let's do a little bit of moving, because I usually do a session in about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and we don't have that long in this particular situation. I would like you to, I'm gonna move, just, I see that a few people who I can actually see are actually sitting down. So I'm going to stay seated, but if you want to stand up, that's perfectly fine. I'm going to move over here. Wait a minute. I'm going to move over here. And you'll see me in low space. I'll stand up. Oh, you can see me. That's this beautiful thing. Okay. Here's what I would like you to start doing. I would like you to just reach your arms forward while you're taking a breath, while you're lifting your shoulders, while you're lifting your feet, while you're lifting your head, while you're lifting your eyes, while you're seeing high, and then bring all of that down. Okay, this is the same as we do in a lot of movement classes. We'll begin with a breath that takes everything up high into high space, and then we retract it back down. So we have a little simple series, breathing up into high space and taking it down. Let's just try it a few more times. Up into high space and taking it down. And now what I would like you to do is simply take that rising and sinking and change directions. I'm doing sort of like what might happen over a longer period of time in a full length session. We're just moving through space in this particular way. Okay, it's soft, it's pretty gentle. If you're not a person who drops your head, don't bother doing that. You can do this without dropping your head, but you can still feel the downward going, and you bring it back to the upward going. So I said earlier, I'm not going to set any kind of particular sequence, but let's think of this as more a pattern. And while you're doing this pattern, so that we can understand the cycle's approach, I would like you to turn your attention mostly to your breath. You feel the air coming in through your nose. Keep doing the movement. You hear the air coming in through your nose. And it goes probably towards your throat. You'll probably feel it. Keep doing the up and down. You'll probably feel it in your chest or your rib cage. If you're really practiced in breathing, you might feel it in the back of your body. You may feel it down and towards your legs. And you take your breath. And let's just pause that sequence for a moment. Pause. So we're changing the timing now. Sometimes you're in a pause and sometimes you're moving downwards and maybe something will happen faster and maybe something will happen slower. And you're changing the rising and sinking to being sometimes fast and sometimes slow. So I'm asking you now to pay attention to the timing of what you're doing. The timing. Some things go up, higher, slower, into very slow. You can do it on your own time if you like, or you can pay attention to my directions. You could completely ignore me and do whatever you like. That is completely and absolutely acceptable. And while you're thinking of the timing, could you also now pay attention to your breath? The air is coming from outside of your skin, in through your nose or your mouth, into the interior of your body, and it's now exiting the interior of your body to be back into the space that is outside of your skin. So the air comes inside you, and you're still rising, and you're still sinking. And if you're getting tired with the rising and the sinking, then don't do it quite so much. Figure out how to do it so that it makes a certain amount of sense for you. So you're still rising and you're still sinking. And now, oh, look, I went completely into slow time because I was trying to pay attention to two things at the same time, which for some reason, when we try to do it, it's very difficult. But in real life, we're always paying attention to a million things at the same time. So here we're going. I'm going to now do the breath awareness while I'm doing the rising and the sinking and the changing of directions with different timings. Now you'll notice that while I'm doing this, I'm not being too strict with what goes up, down. I'm following my impulse. There's a place in me, and let's say it's somewhere in this part of your body. Pause for a moment. It's somewhere in this part of your body. The impulse to go up starts here. There's an energetic sort of gathering of power that actually makes it possible for you to rise in space. And let's say it's somewhere in here. Again, in different practices, people may put what they call the center of energy in different places. It's usually somewhere in the torso. It's usually somewhere central. Different movement practices, and that could be, again, in dance, martial arts, gymnastics, sports, all kinds of anything you might name, they will locate the energetic center. I'm using that term because it's one that's really sort of ubiquitous. They will locate the energetic center in a place or in places that are useful for the activity that they're going to be involved in, or they are involved in. So with our work, I would love if we can locate that play, locate the energetic impulse in places that are useful depending on what we're doing. And it may change. So I don't use so much the idea of a center, I just call it a location. There are times when the energetic impulse will not be located somewhere here, which is a very common place. Down here. Sometimes it might be in another spot here. Sometimes it might be actually
on the edges of your body, the palm of my hand now has the energetic impulse. So let's consider now, we're rising and we're sinking. And it can be huge, it can be fast, you can do it with a lot of power. A lot of power from different parts of your bones and your muscles, mostly your muscles. Your muscles have the capacity for being very, for tensing, condensing, and then giving this very, it looks pretty strong, but there's also the other kind on the other extreme where the muscles actually have low density. They're not contracting. They're soft. They're soft. And some parts of you are soft, but other parts of you may be contracting. So let's try now to pay attention to that, your muscles. As you raise your arms over your head, perhaps you'll notice, if you are standing as I am, that the muscles in my right leg are actually extremely, are working a lot of labor, a lot of hard work. Hard as in they're contracting, they're becoming dense in order to support my weight as I can soften the muscles in my arms. But you know what? I'm noticing that I also have quite a lot of tension here. Not good or bad, I'm just noticing it. I'm also noticing I have quite a lot of tension here. So let's see, let's play with that. I have no tension in my shoulders. I have a lot of tension in my arms. I'm going to notice the tension in my legs matching the tension in my arms, complementary matching the tension and softness in my chest. And now the softness in my chest gives an impulse for my hand to come forward and my other hand to come towards my face and my tailbone to drop down towards the floor, because this is the way I'm moving right now and taking a breath now. So the impulse invites me now to change my attention to taking my breath and really paying attention to that. But in second focus, I'm still moving my arms and my legs. I'm still maybe not even paying attention to the amount of effort that my muscles are doing in order to make this action possible. And now I would like you to pay attention first, put your primary attention to moving the bones of one of your arms. Move the bones, move one bone, decide which bone. This bone, the bone that is in here, the bone that you can feel it, you can touch it with your hand. Let's do that. Touch your hands, touch your arms with your hands. I'm just coming to neutral here. Touch your chest, you can feel the bones there. You can touch your neck, something there. Is that a bone? I think so. Necks are interesting, they've got really strong tendons, bones. Touch your jaw. Tap your face, tap your head, feel your jaw, maybe your back, feel the bones there, right? Maybe tilt the bones of your pelvis. Tilt the bones of your pelvis one way or another. Tilt it forward, tilt it back. Tilt the bones of your pelvis. Tilt them, tilt them, tilt them, tilt them, tilt them, tilt them, tilt them. Now you'll notice when I tilt the bones of my pelvis, and it's probably happening with you too. While I'm tilting the bones of my pelvis, other parts of me move in a complementary fashion. So I'm not on purpose moving my shoulders in this way as my pelvis comes forward, but it's a complementary action. As my pelvis goes back, oh, not much happening in my shoulders, but my back, the bones in my spine move to create this curve. If I tilt my shoulder another way, oh, my arms have moved in place. Oh, my head tilted in the neck. So while you're moving your pelvis, notice what's happening with the bones of the rest of your body. Pelvis. If you want to, you can on purpose tilt the pelvis and make a shape and then notice it. Tilt your pelvis and make a shape and then notice it. Or shaping on intentionally is not so important. You could just tilt and see where it goes, and tilt and see where you go, and tilt and see where you go. Now let's see, can we open our awareness to some of the other systems? So let's open our awareness from tilting pelvis and noticing bones, that's one system, your bones, and your breath. The air is coming. Oh, that'll be the hard one. Tilting pelvis and bones, noticing bones. And also noticing your awareness opens to the amount of effort the different muscles of your muscle system are engaged in while you're doing this action. Tilting bones, changing, and I'm changing from my pelvis first just as a way to go about this for the moment. And how much effort, how much work, how much tension, how much are my muscles condensing or not condensing, releasing, evaporating? At the same time, can you please now take a breath in? And you'll feel the air come in through your nose or your mouth. Well, keep tilting your pelvis. Keep noticing the bones changing. Keep noticing the amount of effort you're using. And you could change it on purpose. And your air comes in through your nose. It goes down into your head and through into your body somewhere. It's not right or wrong in this particular part of our practice. And you have the air coming in. And you have your bones changing places. We're working now with this part of your body, your pelvis, being the energetic, the location of the major energetic impulse, tilting from there, muscles, your breath. And because you're noticing that your breath is coming in, you can pause whenever you like, because you're noticing that your breath is coming in through your nose or your mouth from the outside, and then settling somewhere really truly in the interior, and then going out, I invite you now to also pay attention while the air is coming in and out. Just take your hands. We'll pause the other parts for a moment. Take your hands and simply scan one hand and the other hand over your skin and over your clothing, which touches your skin, so that you know where your skin is, over your skin, one or the other, so you have a good sense of where your skin is. And take your hands away for a moment and see if you can take your attention really to the skin of your body, to that beautiful porous envelope that holds certain things together inside and allows a transference because of the poles between the inside and the outside of you, because of the porousness of your skin. Yeah? So you have your skin. You just sort of just track your skin from your feet up or from your head down or in batches. Maybe you're paying more attention to a certain part in the front or the back of you, and then see if you can feel the skin in the other part of you. So now, as we start to rise up, can you really pay attention to what your skin is doing while you're going up? Your skin is doing as a whole thing. Like if you were I'm showing my age, Casper the Ghost. You're just an outline of yourself like this. You've got a head, arms, and legs with a torso in the middle, right? So as I'm going up, I'm seeing my skin, this package that's my skin. I'm seeing it in my mind's eye. And then I'm changing and I'm seeing it change. So that this envelope is constantly changing its form and it's changing its form. And now while you're doing that, you can really feel your skin, or at least one section of it. If that's as much as it's there, not the totality, that's completely fine. Some days totality is easy, and other days detail is the more reasonable way to go. So here we are attending to the edges, the skin, your skin, and take a breath in through that skin. And feel how the skin and parts of you expand when your breath comes in. And then feel when you breathe out that expansion might still exist within you. I'm just checking the time. We're good. See, this expansion is in you even when you breathe out. So you're not breathing out. In and out. No, I'm in. And even when I breathe out, there's a whole lot of air that's left behind, that's left in there, otherwise we would be in trouble, right? So there's a lot of air in there. So you have the air coming in, and it's actually expanding parts of your skin. Your skin is making room for it because it's elastic. And while you're doing that, change where your pelvis is going. And notice how your bones change, where they go. And while you're doing that, take a breath in. You've got breath inside you and outside. You've got skin changing form and expanding and then relaxing. You've got your bones shifting places. You've got your muscles sometimes strong and condensed and powerful, pushing, pulling, pressing. Those kinds of words are extremely useful. Or floating, fluttering, twist, what is this? Shaking, I guess. Yeah? And those words, fluttering, twisting, twisting. Twisting is more skin, isn't it? Interesting. Here we are. Try and negotiate all those. And also, the impulse is still, we're working with it still in this part of our body. Okay? I'm going to give you one more thing to try, and we'll put on some music, and then I'll just let you dance through with some of this to experience, and then we'll hopefully have time to have a bit of a discussion. So, the other thing I'm going to suggest is that you can move the location of the major impulse, basically anywhere. Whoops, there's my head. Basically anywhere. So I put it into this place, and you might have had a tendency to be extremely specific with where you wanted it to be, or maybe you were using it in a large, spheric kind of a way. Let's see if you put the energy in this place, front and back, or maybe more front, or maybe more back, depending on what makes sense to you right at the moment, so you can have a good feel for what I'm asking you to explore. An easy way to feel this place is take a breath and see if you can make the breath move your hand. The one in the front is usually the easier one for most people. So you'll breathe in. You move the breath in the front of your hand here, and my hand is actually moving, and it's here. And it's coming from, my breath goes somewhere right deep inside, and it causes all sorts of things inside me to adjust and shift complementarily in a complementary way. And my skin actually expands with it, right? And I breathe out, and I can still sense that place. So if you have a feel for that, take your hands away now and take the breath and see if you can feel that place as being a power place, a power point. We have various, very specific power points in our body. And it seems that many, many, many movement and somatic philosophies put them in similar places. The scientists did as well. So it is an experiential thing that is actually true. Here is one of our very strong power places. Down here is a strong power place. There are others here. So let's see if we can make the primary impulse now be here. I would like you to see if you can move the bones of your upper body, and move the bones of your upper body, and move the bones of your upper body, and move the bones of your upper body. And now see if you can do it with a changing of levels, just so we have a bit more of a dance. You're here, moving and moving. And now can you be doing that and noticing your bones, the muscles, your breath coming in and out, the changing form of your skin. Okay. The energy is through here. Notice how some things feel soft, how some things feel hard. You could use other adjectives if you are a person who likes to translate things, translate physical experience into language, into verbal language, and moving. So you could do your dance now, moving from your pelvis, I'm suggesting, and you're here. And if you want to stretch out from that and put the primary impulse into another place, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to give you a little bit of music, and so you can play with it a bit. This is a piece of music that was composed for me quite a number of years ago by a very good friend for a piece that I did
which was actually, I chose it because it was actually made for the first piece that helped me discover the cycle's work. And I invite you just for a minute or two, well, let's say 2 or 3 minutes, because otherwise you won't have much, to experiment with this idea, with this movement, with this music. I hope you can hear it. Voice come in and out from time to time, just to remind you of different systems to attend to. And I'd suggest that you be really, really, really clear on the location of that primary energetic impulse, because it's from there that everything else is pretty much for this. What we're doing right now, it's kind of leading the way. And noticing your skin and how it's the envelope for all that's inside you and what is outside you. And sometimes what you do with your primary energetic impulse, let's say it's in your hips or in your upper body, it will suggest, without us saying, thinking anything, your skin will move in a complementary way. And let's open the lens of your awareness now to also notice the air coming from outside, through your nostrils or mouth, into your torso, and thereby through that, it will unconsciously and subconsciously go into your circulation system. It comes in from the outside, it enters the inside, it lives there for a bit, and then it goes back out to the outside. And your skin is changing. Your bones have different openings and closings, foldings, rising, sinkings. Sometimes your bones feel like they're doing the same thing. They're all doing exactly the same thing. Sometimes some of them are doing something different. And the impulse, the foundation impulse for that, still in that location or in a particular location that you know about. It might have changed. And your breath is still entering and exiting. And your skin is still changing form. And your bones are really able to move simply because of the energy that is being used by the muscles of your body. And you can control that. You can decide how much energy do you want in order to do a certain action. You can decide to be dense. You can decide to be light. You can decide to be anything in between. And these things you might be thinking very hard in order to follow my directions. You might not be listening to me at all. Chances are you're listening to the music, and therefore your hearing sense is engaged. Senses are engaged, your feet are somewhere on the floor holding you up, and your arms or body is encased in cloth, and therefore you feel the clothes on your body. If you're thirsty, chances are your tasting senses is engaged. And change the timings, you can do that. You can decide how much energy you use, and energy itself has a certain duration. So if I'm pushing something, it takes a certain length of time for that to go somewhere. If I'm pulling something, depending on the materiality of what I'm pulling, it will take a certain length of time, sort of materiality and my strength, to pull that thing. And now just take everything, just so we'll slow it down so we have enough time to have a little bit of attention, of a conversation. See if you can just take a breath. Take your attention to your breath first. Put your hands together. Bring your hands to each other. Just moving them.
We can't hear you at all because of the music.
And let's just bring what you're doing to a stop. Are we there? We're there. So sorry, I put the music on pretty high because it's really quiet. If you couldn't hear my chattering, or if my speaking only sounded like chattering in the background, I hope it didn't disturb you that you were trying to listen to me. It's a little bit of a technical glitch and it's my fault. But honestly, if you didn't hear me so much, I see someone's thumbs up, maybe they were okay with it. If you didn't hear me so much, you know, it's not real. Oh, there's another thumbs up, so I don't have to apologize. But all the same, I'll tell you that if you were to take sessions with me regularly, you get used to hearing my voice a lot, because part of the thing is to be, I work on the sort of, it's almost like to overstimulate you. It's a sort of thing that I do. And so very soon you learn that you can tune out, or you can tune in depending on what you want to be hearing. Because if you're busy working on something and I suggest something else, you might just not really want to move over to something new. May want to still be doing what you were already doing. So it's all a matter of what you want and what you need and what you desire at any particular moment. And you can come in and out of the practice. So that's just a little tiny, tiny little taste of an introduction to the cycle's work, and I invite any questions and a little bit of a discussion before we have, I think, 10 minutes, it looks like. Am I right, Jessica? It looks like 10 minutes.
Yay, yes, we have 10 minutes until the final end. And so we have about 7 minutes left here. I, just so you know, we heard you perfectly the entire time. It was just that right at the end when the music changed and then you stepped away, and it was just that little bit.
Okay.
If anyone has any questions, can you put them in the Q&A or put them in the chat? We would love to be able to ask your questions.
That's okay. I'll do the share screen the last second. Okay, let's just go ahead. Yeah, that's okay. It's always hard to know.
Yeah, not seeing any questions right now. So if you have another screen share, please go ahead and do that.
Anyone would. Sometimes my breathing was difficult. Let me see. We could hear you. Sometimes my breathing was difficult. Should I concentrate on my breath more than movement, or vice versa? Okay, let me see if there's any other questions that we can see here. That's earlier.
We do have another new question that just popped up in the Q&A. Do you want to answer that one first about the breathing?
Yeah. So you may have heard me use the word lens once or twice when we were doing our moving section, and the idea of the whole idea is to practice being able to pay attention to as much as I can, as often as I can, at this moment in time. If I live my life like that all the time, I think it might be a little bit, I think it makes a person very delicate. So you don't want to be that delicate. You don't want to be that porous all the time, but it's extremely useful if you're in a creation situation. It's extremely useful if you're creating for yourself, you're dancing to some music in your living room, you're dancing to or singing to yourself when you're cooking, right? When you're cooking, you have to be extremely, extremely attentive to so many details, right? There you are singing, you're listening to the song, you're chopping your things, you're remembering that the water is boiling. The amount of attention and activity that you're already able to hold in yourself at any one moment in that kind of a situation is already there. It's already there. So how cool is it if you can actually harness it and do it in other kinds of situations? So that's a long sort of philosophical answer to, should I be paying attention to my breathing all the time? No, at times I pay attention to some things more than other things because it's useful. So it's all to do with, what is the primary intention? What is the primary action? And what do I need to do in order to do it? Now, with that is a truth, which is, even if I am not paying attention, for instance, paying attention like really focused to my breathing, I'm still breathing. So all of these things are always in your sphere of existence. So I use the idea of a lens. So if you had this, if you think of yourself as a circular thing, within that are all of these different parts of you, parts of me. And sometimes my lens will turn to pay attention to these while these other ones still exist. And they're actually still active. They're actually still very alive and busy. And what they're doing is what is necessary for what I'm looking at, for what I'm attending to, looking at in the broad sense of the word, what I'm attending to actually be doing what it's doing, because nothing can exist in a non-complementary way. They all are doing what they're doing in order to make that particular moment possible. So the other part that goes with that is, so here I am, I'm doing this thing. Maxine's asking me to do a bunch of things all at once, and I'm trying to do it and I can't do it all. And I remember, oh gosh, I've forgotten my breathing. As soon as I remember that I've forgotten my breathing, I've remembered my breathing and I begin to breathe again. So that takes away for me, that takes away any tension. There's no stress. It will come to me when it's useful. I probably remembered to remember my breathing because it was useful to remember it. You see what I mean? So I cycle through. So not only do our movements and our bodies and our systems work in these round ways, a shoulder goes round, our eyes go round, our mind goes round, everything goes round, but also we cycle our lens and our focus from one to another and then back again in our functions. And if we can harness that for a creative or expressive moment, it becomes very, very special. That's my answer to that question.
That was a beautiful answer. We have a few more questions, but we don't have time for them. So we will put in the chat how people can get a hold of you. And I want to just go ahead and thank you so much for being here, and let everyone know that next up on the Dance and Creativity channel, we have Dancing Conflicts Unfolding Pieces Movement for Conflict Transformation by Paula Dietzel-Fauci. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And wanted to let you guys know, if you don't already, that we have a Facebook group specifically for attendees gathering and talking about what's going on and what you're experiencing. If you really love this conference, I encourage you to own the library so that you can digest this in your own time. You can find out more about the different upgrade options at theembodimentconference.org/upgrades. And we appreciate you guys being here. People upgrading allows us to be able to give this conference away for people who are watching live. So thank you so much. And now I'm gonna just take it back to you, Maxine, and ask you real quick to let us know what your top tip to stay embodied would be that you wanna share with us today.
This is really good. I'll give you a simple one. This is really good. At any time, little tapping. Little tap, it sounds a crazy thing, little tapping. Just, you know, like no one's watching. Just do this a little bit. Take off your glasses if you wear them, a little bit of this. And I'm sure the people who do vocalizing, they'll talk about yawning, tapping your feet on the floor. It's tapping your skin. We don't think about skins, or in dance work, people hardly ever talk about skin. Your skin is a huge receptor. So I invite you to encourage it to, you know, like work within your consciousness. It feels really good. It feels really, really good. Just a little tapping. You know, I'm a little disturbed. Oh, I'll just do a little tapping. That's my tip. And come visit my website, acrossoceans.org, and come and take some lessons with me if you're at all interested. I'm starting online classes next Friday at 8:00 in the morning, East Coast time in Toronto, which would be mid-afternoon in Europe and would be in the evening in Asia. That's why I chose that time, see if I could get across the oceans, which is the name of my, Across Oceans Arts is the name of my company, www.acrossoceansarts.org, or just Google my name. Usually it's on the first page, but maybe you'll have to go to the second page to find me. And thank you very much for your interest and for your attention and for having me be able to share some of my discoveries. Thank you.